The second parak, Mishnah Aleph, discusses the Jewish communities outside of Yerushalayim. They used to collect, as we mentioned, the shkalim, and they used to send them together up to Yerushalayim. So a messenger has a cost. So what they would do accordingly is mitzarfin shkalim ladarkonos. They would take all of the shkalim that they had collected, which are silver coins, and they would convert them, or they had the ability, the opportunity to convert them into darkonos, which is a gold coin, more expensive coin, mipnei masui haderech, literally because of the burden of the travel. In other words, the messenger would be able to carry less accordingly, because there are fewer coins of higher value. It would get converted back into shkalim when it got to Yerushalayim, but this would cut down on the transportation cost of getting those shkalim up to Yerushalayim. Now the Mishnah turns to talking about how about the collection of shkalim in Yerushalayim itself, keshem shayu shofaras b'mikdash, just like, and we'll be discussing this later on in the Masechta, that there were collection chests that were spread in the base of Mikdash for various purposes, including people putting their shkalim into them. So too, kach hayu shofaros b'medina, they used to also have places that they used to collect these cabinets, these chests that they would collect outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but in Yerushalayim, so people can donate their shkalim there. The Rambam has a different take. He's Keshita. He explains that the Medina is not Yerushalayim, but it's Eretz Yisrael. So just like they had shofaros on Har HaBayis, so too, according to the Rambam, they had these shofaros, these collection chests that were throughout Eretz Yisrael. Just a little bit of information, we'll get more into this later. It's called a shofar because it actually looked a little bit like a shofar. A shofar is wider on one side and narrower on the other. So too, these chests were wider on the bottom and much narrower and even twisted, curved on the top. So any Ramayim, any people who would have the tendency, desire to steal from them would be unable to get their hands in and take the shkalim out of those shofaros. Getting back to discussing transporting the shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says what happens if those shkalim in transport by the shaliach, by the messenger that was sent to take all of those shkalim or not the larger coins up to Yerushalayim, something happened, if the coins were stolen or lost, what happens in that situation? So the Mishnah says, "Bnei ha'hir sheshalchu es shikleim." So the people in a given city, they sent with a messenger their shkalim, what had been collected, v'niknevu o she'avdu, and they were either stolen or they were lost. So in such a situation, the shaliach, the messenger, has to make an oath to the owner of those coins to say, I am swearing that I was not negligent as I was doing my duties. If he was negligent, he would have to be responsible. But if he wasn't negligent, then he would not be responsible. So the question is, who is the owner of those coins at this point? So it depends the timing. Im nisrma hatruma, if the truma was taken, what this is talking about is three times during the year, they would take the coins from the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash and they would use them for karbonos for a number of months. In fact, this started before each of the Shalosh Regalim, the first one being Pesach. So in other words, came the first to Pesach, and we'll learn more about this later in the Masechta, came the first to Pesach, they would divide the coins into three pots, three different gatherings of the coins, and they would start using them on the first of Nisan. That's when they would divide it, and they would use it for the karbonos at that time. So the Mishnah says, im nisruma hatruma, if the truma was already taken, in other words, let's assume that it's talking about the first of Nisan. First of Nisan came, they actually took the truma that would be used for the karbonos. Accordingly, anything in transit, anything that's been donated, even things that will be donated as a machatzitza shekel, they're just getting to Yerushalayim late. That's also an important point. Should have arrived by the first of Nisan, by the end of Adar, but it came late. It's still in transit, and they have taken the truma. Because the truma worked in a way that the person taking in the truma had in mind to include those other people who the Beis HaMikdash has not received their shkolim yet, those shkolim are considered as owned by the Beis HaMikdash. So because it's the time that the truma is taking, and everyone, even in transport, even people who will give the shkalim in the future, are all included in the truma, even though physically their shkalim haven't arrived yet, nishpain legizbarim, the Beis HaMikdash is considered the rightful owner of the shkalim, and when they are lost by the shaliach on the way up, they would make an oath to the rightful owner, who are the treasurers acting on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash. Continuing, however, v'im lav, if the truma had not been taken yet, in other words, those shkalim are in transport, or it's a time period that it's before the first of Nisan that the truma has not been taken yet. Accordingly, the rightful owner is not the Beis HaMikdash, but the people who sent up those shkalim, so that messenger nishbayin livnei ha'ir would make a shvua to the people in the town who had donated those machatzis shekel, who had sent him to bring the machatzis shekel up to the Beis HaMikdash. And he has to make an oath that he was not negligent. If he does make that oath, that he wasn't negligent, that they were really, it was out of his control, that they were stolen or lost, it was an onus, not by fault of his. In that situation, ubnei ha'ir shoklim tachtei, and the people of the city, because they're still the rightful owners of those shkalim, and the messenger's not responsible because he wasn't negligent, they would have to give a replacement, a second set of new shkalim donated to the Beis HaMikdash to replace the ones that were missing. Now, what happens if they did that? They gave the second set replacement shkalim, and then nimtzu'u o shehechziru maganavim. The shkalim were found, the first set, or the ganavim had regret and they returned them. Now the townspeople have given two sets of shkalim, the original ones and the replacement ones. So the Mishnah says, Eilu v'eilu shkalim, they are both considered shkalim, both are bona fide shkalim. However, the Mishnah says, v'ein olim lahem l'shana haba'ah, it does not count for the next year, because both of them were given on the assumption that it would be for this year, so they do not get a credit for next year. They have to give another machatzis shekel for the next year. Each individual and the town as a whole has to collect for the next year as well. Mishnah Beis deals with three scenarios where people take money that was designated for a different purpose and use it for their machatzis shekel. Just a little bit of information before we go on. The Isra of Mi'ila is when somebody takes funds that were designated to the Beis HaMikdash, or it has the status of Hekdesh, it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and uses that for his own personal benefit. That violates the Isra of Mi'ila. If somebody does it by mistake, he has to bring a Korban Asham to act as a Kapara for the Mi'ila. He also has to repay the benefit, the value of what he took, and he has to add a fifth, a Chomesh. If somebody does it deliberately, takes those funds, those assets of the Beis HaMikdash, violates the Isra of Mi'ila, not only does he have to return the value that he took, but he receives Malkos. Okay, based on that, we'll go into the Mishnah now. Scenario number one, Hanosen Shiklo Lechavero, we have the proverbial A, who says to be his chaver, Shlishkol Al Yado, please take this money and give it for me as my machatzis shekel. And B does not follow instructions, Ushkalo Al Yedei Atzmo, he actually gives that machatzis shekel for himself. So effectively, he steals it. Under law, we would call this conversion, is taking an asset of somebody and using it for your own benefit. So the Mishnah says as follows, in Nisruma Truma, if at that point that he takes it, B takes it and gives it as his own machatzis shekel, in the Beis HaMikdash, they have already started to access the new shkalim to bring the korban as tzibur. If that's the situation, those taking of the shkalim in the Beis HaMikdash, that's not only for the shkalim that were received by the Beis HaMikdash, but also for the shkalim that will be received in the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, that would include A's machatzis shekel that B now has taken for himself. So if B takes it, once the Beis HaMikdash, they have started accessing the new funds, he effectively took a machatzis shekel that was owned already by the Beis HaMikdash, and accordingly, ma'al, he violates the Isra of Mi'ila. Second scenario, hashokel shiklo mi ma'os hekdash. Here, we have A and we have no B involved. It's simply A, by mistake, took from his funds a machatzis shekel, but he didn't remember that the funds he took it from were funds that he had donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So those funds were supposed to go for a different purpose to the Beis HaMikdash, not for his machatzis shekel, and he took those funds owned by the Beis HaMikdash. It has the status of Hekdesh, and he gave it as his machatzis shekel. So he's not, now he hasn't violated the prohibition of Mi'ila, taking funds of the Beis HaMikdash and using it for his own personal benefit, because he has taken funds from the Beis HaMikdash and given it to the Beis HaMikdash, but he's using it for the wrong purpose as the machatzis shekel. So what happens here is there's not an automatic mi'ila until those funds are used by the Beis HaMikdash for the wrong purpose, because it was designated for one purpose and he's giving it to the Beis HaMikdash for purpose B being the machatzis shekel to cover the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So in Nisruma Truma, at that point, that they start accessing the new funds of the Shkalim, Vikarva Habema, and they actually use the Shkalim. It doesn't have to be his shekel per se, but because they start using the Shkalim, in other words, they started bringing Karbanos, they brought the first Korban from that funding, that includes his shekel as well, then Ma'al, he violates the prohibition of Mi'ila. And the third scenario goes as follows. Somebody had Midmei Ma'isr Sheni produce, is a tithe that is given during certain times, certain years in the Shemitah cycle, and it's a Meiser, it's a tithe that is brought up to the base of Mikdash. In other words, the produce that we have throughout Israel is brought and eaten in Yerushalayim, not the base of Mikdash, but eaten in Yerushalayim. Or if it's too difficult to bring all that produce to Yerushalayim, you can actually take money and redeem that sacred Meiser Sheni produce. And you redeem it, the Kedusha is now on the money. And you took that money, somebody takes that money and by mistake uses it for machatzis shekel, similar to the prior scenario. You're taking money that was ma'aser sheni money, you were supposed to take it to Yerushalayim, I buy produce there, and you use it by mistake for the machatzis shekel. Or similarly, midmei shis, you had funds that had the status of shis, which is shmita. In other words, you had shmita produce, and you transferred the kedusha of the shvi, you see, the kedusha of the shmita from the produce onto the money, and then by mistake, the person took that money that has the status of shmita, that has the status of shvi'is on it, and used it for his machatis shekel. The Mishnah says in that situation, when you realize thereafter that you took the wrong funds, you didn't take from your wallet, but you took from the money you had that had the status of ma'aser sheni or shvi'is, yochal kenegdan, you have to eat a commensurate amount. What does that mean exactly? So what that means is you actually have to take some money, regular money, unconsecrated money, and you would declare on that money, wherever that money is that I gave to the base of Mikdash, that machatzis shekel, that money that really had the status of either ma'aser sheni or shmita, I want to redeem that kedusha from that money that I gave, that's the machatzis shekel, onto this money that I have right here. And with that money that you have there, you have to fill the dictates of ma'aser sheni or shmita. You would buy produce, and that produce would be ma'aser sheni produce, or you should buy other produce, and it would be shmita produce, and you eat that produce according to the requirements of shmita and ma'aser sheni. Mishnah Gimel discusses the situation where somebody starts to collect up in order to save enough money to give his machatzis shekel. In the end of the day, when he counts up how much he has collected, he has more than required to give the machatzis shekel. What happens with the excess? Hamechanes maos v'amar, somebody who's starting to collect little by little, smaller coins. And he says at the beginning, Hare elu l'shikli, I am collecting these for my shekel, for my machatzis shekel. And in the end of the day, when he counts it, he collected too much. What happens with the excess? Beit Shammai Omri, Beit Shammai is of the view, Mosaro Nedava, the excess goes to a Korban Nedava. In other words, it's collected and given as a Korban Ola to the Beis HaMikdash. The view of Beit Shammai is as follows. When somebody gives money to the Beis HaMikdash by mistake, it's still considered a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and that money has the status of Hekdesh. So the phrase is as follows, Hekdesh Betod. If you donate to the Beis HaMikdash by mistake, Shmei Hekdesh, it's still considered Hekdesh, and accordingly, that excess of the Machatzis Shekel cannot go for more Machatzis Shekel. Everyone has to give the equal amount of the Machatzis Shekel, so the excess goes to a different pot. It goes to the Mizbeach, it goes to buy Korbanos Ola to keep the Mizbeach going when the Mizbeach was slow. No, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel is of the view, Mosar and Chulin, the excess is Chulin. In other words, the person owns it. It doesn't have the status of Hekdesh. The view of Beis Hillel is Hekdesh Betod. If you gave money to the Beis HaMikdash, it is not considered Hekdesh. The person never intended to give more than the Machatzis HaShekel. He simply made a mistake and collected a little bit more. But that doesn't mean that it would go to the Beis HaMikdash. Shavi mehen l'shikli. But if his language at the beginning, when he's starting to count up, is I will give of them to my machatzis shekel. In other words, he's not saying I'm going to give everything that I collect, but I'm going to give from these funds that I'm collecting a machatzis shekel. I'm going to give my shekel. Shavin shemosar and chulin. Even in that situation, Beit Shammai would agree with Beis Hillel because the language is different. That the excess would be owned by the person who is collecting the funds and not the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to continue in discussing how about if he wasn't collecting for his machatzis shekel, but to give a korban chatas elul. The person said the same language. This that I'm collecting is going to go for my korban chatas. In other words, He's collecting, and in the end of the day, he counts it up, and there's more than he needs then to buy the korban. In this situation, even Beis Hillel would agree with Beis Shammai, Shavin, Shamoser, Nedava, even though he collected more than necessary to buy a korban chatas, the excess would go to the Beis HaMikdash as a Nedava, in other words, to buy additional korban olas. It would go for that allocation, and we'll have to see in a little bit the next Mishnah why in this situation Beis Hillel is of the view when it comes to the korban chatas that the excess would go to the Beis HaMikdash, and why when it comes to the shekel that he's collecting for, the excess would not go to the Beis HaMikdash, but would be owned by the person collecting the funds. And continuing to end off the Mishnah, if the person who's starting to collect says, Avi mehen chatas, I will bring, this language here is not these all are for the chatas, but from this that I am collecting, mehen, I will bring the chatas. In that situation, Shavin, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree. In other words, even Beis Shammai would agree with a Beis Hillel, Shamosa, that the excess will go to Chulin, will not go to the Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash, but it will go to the individual who is collecting the funds. Mishnah Dal, it builds on Mishnah Hay, where we saw that in the opinion of Beis Hillel, if somebody designates coins and says, these will be for my machatzis shekel, my shekel obligation, the excess reverts back to the owner. It does not go to the Beis HaMikdash. In contrast, Beis Hillel was of the view that if somebody says this money will be going to a korban chatas, if there is excess of the value of the korban chatas, then more than was necessary, those coins go to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah asks, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ma ben Shkalim lechatas? Rabbi Shimon says, he asks, in the Shita of Beis Hillel, what's the difference between Shkalim, that the excess goes back to the donor, and the Korban Chatas, that the excess goes to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah answers, Shkalim yesh lehem kitzva, when it comes to the Machatzis HaShekel, there's a set amount, everyone gives the set amount, v'chatas ein la kitzva, literally the Korban Chatas has no limit, you can spend more, you can spend less, there is no limit on what you can spend on an animal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, however, Rabbi Yehuda asks, Af l'shkalim lehem lehem kitzva, truth be told, when it comes to the machatzis shekel, giving the shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash, also there is no limit. It's not like there's a standard amount that has been given historically that is pegged based on the machatzis shekel discussed in the Torah, kishe'alu Yisrael min ha'gola, when Klal Yisrael was coming back from the Babylonian exile at the time of Ezra, hayu shoklin darkonos, they would give the higher value than the machatzis shekel in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they gave the value of the currency that they were using at the time, which was a darkon, and chazu later on lishko slayim, they gave slayim, which was also more than the machatzis shekel brought at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, chazu lishko tavaim, and then there was another time that they gave another currency also more than the machatzis shekel, a big shulis called dinarim, and they even Klal Yisrael wanted to give to a dinar. Now that was less than the value of the machatzis shekel discussed in the Torah, and Chazal said, "No, we're not going below the value of the d'oraisa machatzis shekel." But we do see, in other words, that as long as who was in excess of the value of the d'oraisa machatzis shekel, there was variety as to the amount of the value that was given of the machatzis shekel. Rabbi Shimon responds, Af al pichein, that is true, but nonetheless, what we're saying is, at a given time, yad kulan shava, when all Klal Yisrael gave the machatzis shekel, everyone gave the same value, whether it's a coin, whether it was given as a darkon or a selo or a tevai, it doesn't matter. Everyone gave that same value. So we see that it's not variable at a given time. But when it comes to the korban chatas, aval chatas, if somebody wants to donate a korban chatas, even at the same time, zemevi besela, A can give the value with one sela, vizemevi beshtaim, and B can give it the value of two sela, vizemevi besholosh, and C can give it the value of three sela. In other words, when it comes to the korban chatas, we don't have a set standard at one time. People can give in excess high values of the korban chatas. And in other words, now we have the answer why in the Shita of Beis Hillel, if somebody designates money to the machatzis shekel and he has excess because everyone's giving the same value for the shekel, Accordingly, the excess over that value reverts back to the donor. It doesn't go to the Beis HaMikdash. But when it comes to the Korban Chatas, because there are different values, people can spend a lot or a little on the Korban Chatas. When somebody says, I'm designating this money to go for Korban Chatas, even in excess, even if there's money in excess of what he spends, that is also going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, because we can say truly his intent was to donate all of it to the Beis HaMikdash for the Korban Chatas, because there is no set amount for the Korban Chatas. Mishnah Hey discusses when we have surplus funds, just like we've been talking about with the Shkolim. And in fact, we're going to start out with the same statement that we've had learned from Beis Hillel in the prior Mishnah. Moser Shkolim, when we have excess amounts that were collected for Shkolim, the excess will go to Chulin, will go to the owner who is donating those funds, because he only intended to give the basic amount of the Machatzis HaShekel. If somebody is collecting for other Korbanos now, we're going to discuss what happens with the excess funds. So Moser Asiris Haifa, somebody's collecting to give the Asiris Haifa, and he has Moser, he has excess funds that weren't necessary. Moser Kine Zavin, Kine Zavos, Vikine Yolados, these are different types of korbanos that bird offerings were given, and all of them are also forms or have at least a component of a korban chatas with them. Vikine Yolados, those are three, Zavin, Zavos, and Yolados, and general Vechataos Vashamas, korban chatas, a korban asham, and all of those when you have excess funds that weren't necessary in excess of the amount to purchase the basic korban, most rates say him then dava. The excess will go when the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll discuss later on in the Masechta that they had various chests that were set up for donations. So you would give the excess from any of these into the chest that was listed nadava, and it would go to excess korban olas when the mizbeach was slow. Zehaklal, this is the general principle. Kol shuba l'shem chatas u'l'shem ashma, any excess funds that was given for a chatas or an asham or something that was paired with a chatas and asham. In other words, if somebody had to give the multiple korbanos and one of them was a korban chatas, for example, the moser, the kine zavin, and the zavas, etc. In those situations, mosoran, the excess funding will go to the chest listed as nadav in the Beis HaMikdash, and it will go to buy korban oleh. Moser Ola, if somebody's collecting funds to buy a Korban Ola and he has excess funding, La Ola will go to purchase additional Olas. Korban Olas, Moser Mincha La Mincha, excess funds for collected for a Mincha will go for additional Mincha. Moser Shlamim La Shlamim, if you're collecting for a Shlamim and you have excess, it will go towards additional Shlamims. Moser Pesach, and you have excess from your Korban Pesach that you did not need, you do not wait the next year and bring an additional Korban Pesach, would rather bring it as a Korban Shlamim L'Shlamim, because the Korban Shlamim fits the same criteria as what would be kosher to bring a Korban Pesach. Moser Nazirim, if somebody's collecting to buy the Korbanos for a poor Nazirim, and there are extra funds, give it to L'Nazirim, other poor Nazirim, Moser Nazir, but if somebody's collecting to give the Korbanos for a Nazir, and they weren't necessary for that Nazir, he had enough for the three Korbanos that a Nazir brings, then you can't give it to other Nazirim, because it was designated for this Nazir, you give it L'Nadava, you put it in that chest that says it's for a Nadava to go for Korbanot Ola in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to say in a similar vein, not Korbanos per se, but what if funds were collected in the community, for example, to designate for specific charities or purposes, and you have excess funding. Moser Anim, if you collect funds for Anim, for the poor, and you have excess over the needs of the group of Anim in front of you, La Anim, you can give it to other Anim. Moser Ani, but if you collect for one specific Ani and you have excess, then you still have to give it Lo So Ani. You have to give it specifically to that Ani, because when you collected, it was designated for that individual, so you cannot give it to others. Moser Shvuim, if you collect for the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuim, redeeming Jewish captives, and you have excess funding L'Shvuim, you can give it for other Shvuim who are in need. Moser Shavui, however, if you collect specifically for one Shavui, for one captive, and you have excess funding, still you give it La'osa Shavui, you will give that money to that for that captive, because it was collected specifically for him. Moser HaMesim, if you collect to pay for the burials of people who have passed away and you have excess funds over those who you have right now, the needs you have right now, LeMesim, you can give it to other needs of people who have passed away or will pass away. In other words, because it was collected for the general purposes of burials, you can give it for others' needs, to other people who need payment for their burials. mos or a mace. However, if you collect specifically for one mace, it was an earmarked by people. In other words, you said, can you collect? We have a need for one person who has passed away. We have a machlokas now, because if you have enough to cover his burial and you cannot give it to others because it was collected specifically for him, the first shita is liyorshav. You give it to those who inherit him, because that's the next closest to that mace, to his heirs. And next, Rabbi Meir's opinion number two says, Rabbi Meir Omer, mos or a mace, ye munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. We have to leave it in a designated place until Eliyahu Hanavi comes, b'mehira b'yameinu, and he will have to paskin what to do with these funds, because we don't really know what to do with them. And the third opinion, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Moser HaMeis, bonin lo nefesh al kivro, the excess for that mace, that specific person, and we had sufficient to cover his basic burial costs, the, according to Rabbi Nasan, we can't use it for any other purposes, we can't use it for other maceim, we also can't give it to his heirs, we can only use it for that specific mace, so we would buy a monument upon his grave. In other words, we have to use those funds specifically for that mace, so find the use that would be for decorative purposes in order to honor that mace, even though it's over the basic burial costs.